إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. In essence, this is a small reminder more than anything else, rather than anything that is defined as a particular subject, but rather a reminder first and foremost for myself. So indeed, like yourselves, I am maybe more so in need of reminding myself with regard to the affairs of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with regard to being patient upon this deen and keeping away from sins and transgression. So as yourselves are in need of this nasiha, then likewise I myself am in need of this nasiha. So it is an advice first and foremost to myself and then to yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in his book, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayah, and keep yourself patiently with those who call upon their Lord, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, that this address and this command was to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost. Meaning that you, O Muhammad, keep yourself patiently with those who call upon their Lord. And those who call upon their Lord, ya ikhwan, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaykh al-Fawzan is mentioning here, refers to the Sahaba. So you, O Muhammad, keep yourself patiently with those who call upon their Lord. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Those who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let not your eyes, O Muhammad, overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of this world. So ikhwan, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should stick and be with those Sahaba radiyallahu anhum who call upon their Lord morning and evening. So therefore, more so for us, this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose sins had been forgiven. As Aisha radiyallahu anha mentioned to him that your sins have been forgiven, that which has passed and that which is the earliest, that which has passed and that which is to come. Your sins have been forgiven, yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times a day, and in a narration, 100 times a day. He would seek the forgiveness of Allah. And when he was asked with regard to why, he said, should I not be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we should keep ourselves with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening. And we should not overlook the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desiring the glitter of this world. Because no doubt, those who oppose and those who are distant from the deen and from distant from worship, then they desire the decoration of the dunya and the pomp and the glitter of this world. But our eyes are with those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life used to first and foremost himself keep with companionship that was righteous and pious. And that's why the closest of the people to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And he is the most righteous and the most pious slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in several hadith that there is no one better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq after the prophets and the messengers. After the prophets and the messengers, no one was better upon the face of Allah's ard. No one was better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. the one who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his hijrah and his migration when the Quraysh wanted to kill him. And they pursued him. Who did he have with him? The most beloved to the Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So Abu Bakr was the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the most beloved. And it is no coincidence, of course, that he was also the most pious of the slaves of Allah after the prophets and the messengers. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself kept good companionship. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Umar takes a path from the paths of Medina, the shaitan chooses another path. Shaitan leaves the path that Umar is upon because of the piety of Umar and the righteousness of Umar. So it is not possible, ya ikhwan, wa akhawat rather, to live in this life whilst you are isolated. You will need companionship. And from the best of the companions are those companions that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the best of the husbands are the husbands that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith, he said that a woman is married for four reasons. She is married for her beauty, her lineage, her wealth, or she is married for her religion. Marry the one with the religion, may your hands be covered with dust. Meaning, may you be successful. So even with regard to partnership in life, with regard to choosing a husband or choosing a wife, then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to choose those who are pious and righteous and close to their Lord and close to their deen. So an individual does not isolate himself up from society. Rather, he stays within society and he lives within society. But rather he lives with and he mixes with those who will bring him closer or bring her closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look through the book of Allah sallallahu alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we look towards the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, then throughout them you find this encouragement of being with good companions and keeping away from the sinners and the transgressors and those individuals who will take you away from the remembrance of your Lord. That we stick to the people of sunnah, ahlu sunnati wal jama'ah. That we stick to those who remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. That Allah said in this ayah that وَاسْبِرْ, have patience, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keep yourself patiently with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking His face. So keeping company, my sisters, with those who seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making sure that your children likewise are keeping company with those children, remind them of their Lord and remind them of their religion. And remind them of good morals and good stature and good behavior. All the way through your life, through your family, through your own lives. By the way that you choose your husband, with regard to your, to those who you have authority over, that you encourage them constantly to keep company with those who will remind them of their Lord. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to abandon those who deny or reject or oppose the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we do not keep company with those who oppose the sunnah. We do not keep company with those who are disobedient to Allah and they are persistent with their disobedience to Allah. We do not keep company with them, my sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَعَرِدْ أَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, with regard to those who, and when you see those who engage in false speech regarding our verses, meaning by those who mock our verses, then stay away from them up until they change or they turn to another topic. So keeping away from those who mock the signs of Allah, Ahlul Ilm, the likes of Fawzan and Ibn Baz, and likewise the early Salaf, they used to use this as a proof. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. That if you see those who make a mockery, or they jest with our signs, that this refers to those who oppose the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. those who are involved in bid'ah and those who are involved in innovations and deviations, do not keep company with them. Farid anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Stay away from them, turn away from them, up until they change the topic. Meaning, up until they rectify themselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse. With regard to those who have sinned and transgressed, illa alladhina tabu wa aslahu wa bayyanu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, except for those who rectify, or except for those who make tawbah, and those who rectify, and those who clarify or make the bayan, that they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, that Allah mentions that He will forgive them, or that He will turn to them and accept their repentance. So with regard to those who oppose the deen of Allah and oppose the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are disobedient to Allah and they are disobedient to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they oppose the manhaj of the Salaf, that which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Tabi'un and the Atba'u Tabi'een were upon, then we have nothing to do with them. Rather, they take their path and we take our path. Keeping company, my sisters, to protect yourselves. To protect yourselves from a fire whose fuel is men and stone. That we protect ourselves with the remembrance of Allah. That we protect ourselves with good company. That we protect ourselves from evil, from falling into evil. As Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiyallahu anhuma, he said, يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسِ, that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَأَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِ, that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about their good. As for me, I used to ask him about the evil, out of fear that I may fall into it. So, knowing the distinction between good and knowing the distinction between evil will protect you. Knowing the sunnah from bid'ah will protect you from falling into bid'ah. Knowing iman from kufr will protect you from falling into kufr. Knowing shirk and tawheed will protect you from falling into shirk, because you know the headings of shirk and you know the headings of tawheed. You know the headings of iman and you know the headings of kufr. You know what is the sunnah and you know that which is bid'ah. So all of this protects you. All of this protects you, knowing good and knowing the evil. For indeed, the one who does, as one of the poets once said, he said that I learnt evil, not for the sake of evil itself, but rather to protect myself from it. For indeed, the one who does not know good from evil will fall into evil. The one who doesn't know good from evil will fall into evil. So we learn evil not for the sake of evil itself, but rather so that we may protect ourselves from the shar. So therefore, we keep company with those who are people of sunnah and salafiyyah. Not those who call to misguidance. Not those who call to sin and transgression. Not those who call to fornication. Not those who call to alcohol and drinking of wine or smoking and music. Or for the nakedness of women. Those are not the ones that we keep company with. Rather, we keep company with the sellers of musk. We keep company with the sellers of musk. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ جَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَالنَّافِخِ الْكِيرِ. وَالنَّافِخِ الْكِيرِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the similitude of good companionship and bad companionship is like the one who is the seller of musk and the one who blows the bellows. As for the one who sells the musk, then either he will give you some, or you may buy some from him, or at the least you may enjoy his pleasant smell. As for the one who blows the blacksmith's bellows, then either he will burn your clothes, or you'll get a filthy, offensive smell from him. So the company that you keep, my sisters, either the company that you keep will bring you closer to Allah, will bring you that nice smell, that fragrant smell, or the company that you keep will give you an offensive, filthy odor from the one that you are keeping company with. So we advise our Muslim sisters, and we advise our daughters from the young girls, that you should make this hadith the measure, the mizan, between the company that you keep and the company that you abandon. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rightly stated, that a person is upon the deen of his khalil, that a person is upon the religion of his friend, of his intimate companion. So if your companion is a fornicator, if your companion is upon the internet all the time, looking at things that are unbefitting, or if your companion is a person that is backbiting and slandering, if your companion is a person of tahazzub and hizbiyah, a person of partisanship, and belongs to one of those deviated groups and sects, or if your companion is from those individuals who tries to throw doubts in your heart against your Salafi brothers and sisters, if your companion is that type of individual, is the one who calls you to misguidance, then know that that is the companion that you need to abandon. That is the companion that you do not need. And the only relationship that you have with that individual is a relationship of nasiha, is that you advise them with the fear of Allah, with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you advise them with the seeking of beneficial knowledge. But as for keeping companionship with them, my young sisters, and my daughters, and my nieces, and those who are older than me and younger than me likewise, that you make this the measure between good companionship and bad companionship. That many of our sisters, because of the environment that they're in, because of the fact that they're always in their homes, which is the best place for the woman, that you do not display yourselves, as Allah Jalla wa Ala has mentioned, like the displaying of the former times of Jahiliyyah. So the best place for the woman is her home. And as some of the Salaf used to say, that their women folk never used to leave their home, never used to leave their home, except for the two Eids. Because then it becomes an obligation upon them. Because they were so beloved, the homes are so beloved to them, that the best prayer for the man is in the masjid in congregation. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that the reward for the one who prays in congregation is 25 times the reward of praying in other than the congregational masjid. Or in a narration, 27 times more rewarding than praying in other than the congregational masjid. As for the woman, then the best prayer for the woman is in her home. Bal, the best prayer for the woman is in the depths of her own home, in the depths of her bedroom. Best prayer for the woman. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when did he say this? Did he say this living in the West, living in Europe, or living in Medina? The Messenger of Allah said this to the women of Medina, where the prayer in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 1,000 times more than the prayer in any other masjid. So any other masjid, 27 times for the men. Up to 27 times for the men. And then in Masjid al-Nabawi, 1,000 times that 27. Imagine. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the women, the best prayer for you is the prayer in your homes. That's the best prayer. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forbid the women from the masjid, even though he told them that which was more excellent and that which was more virtuous, that they pray in their homes, that they stay in their homes, that they worship their Lord in their homes, that they take care of the responsibility of their homes, that they look after their children and they honor their husbands, that they stay in their homes. This is more virtuous for the woman. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a warning to the men. Do not prevent your women folk from the masajid, from the houses or the buyut of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the woman wishes to go to the houses of Allah, meaning to the masajid, to the mosque, then no one should prevent the women folk. So long as they are dressed adequately, that they are wearing the hijab. Because we find some of our sisters, that sometimes they will come into the masjid, And they will pray at the back of the masjid. No problem. This is the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best rows for the men are the foremost rows, meaning the closest to the imam at the front. And the best rows for the women are the rear rows. The further back in the masjid, the better the row for the woman. The back rows. So we find some of our sisters, and they are welcome, because we established the sunnah, walillahi alhamd, in this masjid. But when they come to the masjid, then they dress inadequately. That they are wearing makeup sometimes, or they are wearing those things that will attract the vision of the men. So if you come to the masjid, and no man should prevent his wife from coming to the masjid, or his daughter from coming to the masjid, if she wishes to do so, so long as, of course, the brother, or the father, or the guardian, or the husband, insists upon her that she only attends the masajid of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. No point in sending your wives or your daughters to the masajid of the people of the Ahzab, or the people of the groups and parties and sects of deviation. Rather, the purpose of sending your wife to the masajid is so that she becomes tied and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas if you send your wives and your children to the masajid of the people of bid'ah, then that takes them further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defeating the object. So it is important that when the wives, they wish to go to the masajid, that you send them to the mosques of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, to the mosques of the Salafiyin, and to the masajid established by the Salafi brothers and sisters. Furthermore, that when the women come to the masjid, that they should not be wearing makeup, that they should not be wearing these eyeliners, they should not be wearing these things that make them attractive. As is mentioned by Ahlul Ilm, that the most beautiful part of the woman is her face. Most beautiful part of the woman. The first thing that catches the man's attention is the face of the woman. No doubt. So if the face is beautified with makeup and lipstick and blusher and foundation, then automatically you have sinned and you have transgressed and you have not covered your beauty. If the woman wishes to leave her face uncovered, because she takes the position of those Ahlul Ilm and many of the Salaf from this Ummah who held that the covering of the face was not obligatory, which has been articulated by the great Alim and the Muhaddith and the Imam and the Mujaddid of this era, Shaykh Abu Abd al-Rahman, Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, where he clarified clearly that the niqab is not wajib. But now the woman, she removes the niqab because she holds it not to be wajib. No problem thus far. Even though, no doubt, as Shaykh al-Albani himself, even though he held the niqab not to be wajib, that he establishes chapter after chapter the importance and the virtue of the niqab. The importance and the virtue and the excellence of the niqab. So now the woman removes the niqab because she takes the position of the great Imam Al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala. No problem. But then if you are going to remove the niqab, then do not put on the makeup. Do not put on those things upon your face that will beautify your face, such as the nose ring, or such as blusher, or such as eyeliner, or this liquid eyeliner, or to put those eyelashes, or to brush the eyelashes so that you become more attractive. And then you use it as an excuse, oh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to apply kohl. Yes, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to apply kohl. Number one, he was a man. Number two, he applied kohl. He did not apply Yves Saint Laurent. And he did not apply Christian Dior. And he did not apply all of these other makeups upon the eyes, so that the woman, when she leaves her house, she looks more like Cleopatra than she looks like a believing woman. Wallahi, akhawat, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to the makeup. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to the fitna that you cause. And if you are older, wiser women who have children, then fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to the example that you are setting to your daughters. With the example that you are setting. The most beautiful part of a woman is her face, because that is what draws the eyes of the man. And then as Shaykh al-Albani himself said, the most beautiful part of the face are the eyes. Are the eyes. So when you beautify your eyes, When you beautify your eyes, that you may be causing temptation to the men. As Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, the faqih, the allama, that he mentioned that first and foremost that the woman, that we permit her to wear makeup. And we permit her to wear the eyeliner. But she does so in the confines of her home. For her husband, in the home. And she does not exit the house with this makeup unless her face is fully covered, including her eyes. Including her eyes if she is to wear the eye makeup. Otherwise she does not wear the makeup. So therefore, sisters, and if this is leaving the house, then how about entering the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if a woman perfumes herself, that she perfumes herself as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then she mingles amongst the men, or she walks amongst the men in public, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she is a zaniya, that she is a fornicating woman, meaning that she has resembled the women of fornication, as Sheikh Al-Albani has mentioned. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my sisters, and those mothers who have responsibility, that first and foremost that you recognize that you are believing women, that you are Muslim women, under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you have a responsibility, that just like the men, you women, you will face your Lord. Just as the men will come in front of their Lord, naked and uncircumcised, likewise yourselves. And you will have to answer for the deeds that you are doing. And you will have to answer for the responsibility that Allah has placed upon you. You will answer for the misguidance of your children if you led them astray. And you did not try, and you did not rectify, but rather you said, leave her, she's only young. She's 7 years old, leave her. So you left her. And you did not command her with the prayer. So then she reached 10 and he said, leave her, she's young, let her wear what she wishes to wear. So you left her and you did not encourage her. Then when she entered into her teens, you said, leave her, she's too young, let her enjoy herself. And you left her in that path. And then before you know it, you found that your daughter went astray. And then you ask yourself, where did this come from? How did this happen to me? I showed her love. You may have shown her love, but you did not show her guidance. You may have shown her that you loved her and you cared for her and you gave her her freedom. And you gave your children the freedom, but you didn't guide them. And you did not have concern for their rectification. And you did not discipline them when they needed disciplining. If you did not discipline them when they were 7, what chances do you have of disciplining them when they're 15? If you did not discipline them at 5, then what chance do you have at 15? What chance do you have? And by disciplining, wallahi, we do not mean here beating them or punishing them in a manner that is beyond the realms of the Sharia or the guidelines of the Sharia. Disciplining by way of encouraging them, by terms of developing or inculcating in them the importance of obedience and love and respect for their parents. This is what is required from our children. That our children become disciplined. Because the mother is good. But the mother is a woman who's always out and about. Bullring Center, One Stop, Fort, this shopping mall, that shopping mall, Asda, Morrison's, day in and day out, that's all she does. Then how is the daughter going to grow up? Except imitating the mother. If this is all the wife is upon, the mother is upon, then the children will follow suit. Rather stay in your homes. That is better for you. Not that you never leave. Of course leave. But with the permission of your husband. But you recognize that the origin of where you should be is in the house. And with the permission of your husband, you may visit your relatives. You may visit your mother. You may visit your father. Give them da'wah. You may visit other brothers, other sisters, your own blood brothers. Visit them. But not so that you become a person who is more acquainted to being outside of the house than you are acquainted with regard to the inside of your house. So be from those sisters who take heed with regard to this affair. That the sisters that you keep company with are those sisters that remind you of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they remind you of seeking beneficial knowledge. And they remind you of your Lord. And when they see you making a mistake, that they correct you and rectify you. Not that they remain silent, or they encourage you upon evil. So when they are in your home, or when you go and visit them, and you see them surfing the net, or you see, and especially to my younger sisters, those who are in the position of my niece, and the position of my daughters, those younger sisters, then if you see from one of your companions something that you know in your heart that you are not supposed to be doing, and you know that later you will regret and you will feel guilty in your souls because you have wronged your Lord or you have wronged yourself and transgressed against your Lord, then when you see the evil, then prevent the evil. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith reported by Muslim that whomsoever of you sees an evil, then let them correct it with their hands, if they are able. If they are not able, then let them correct it by speaking with their tongues, if they are able. And if they are not able, then at least let them hate it with their hearts. And there is no, and there is not a mustard seed of iman beyond that. So the lowest level of iman is that when you younger sisters, you teenage girls, that when you see one of your friends doing that which is haram, texting that which is haram, sending a message, a media message on your phone, that which is haram, taking a photograph of that which is haram, listening on your mobile phone to that which is haram, looking onto the internet that which is haram, and you're in that company, then you only have three options. You rectify it with your hands. And this you will most probably not be able to do because you're not in the position of authority and you are not the parent. Or you will rectify it with your tongue. That you are able to do. My sister, Fulana, what do you think you're doing? Stop, it's haram. It's haram, we are accountable now. From the time that we have our menstrual cycles, or from the time that we have entered into womanhood, or from the time that we have reached the age of 15, or from the time that we have this desire to be married, and we are able to have children, from that time your Lord will call you to account. So tell your sister, say, what are you doing? What are you playing at? What are you doing with your phone? Who are you texting? Why are you texting men? Why are you receiving a text from boys? Why are you taking this picture on your mobile phone? Why are you listening to this music? Why are you upon the internet? Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account. There's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there will come a people that they should beware that they are close to destruction. Why are they close to destruction? They are close to destruction because when the people do evil around them, that they remain silent. They are the ones who are close to destruction. Not that they themselves are doing evil, but they will be overcome with destruction. Why will they be overcome with destruction? Because of this issue. And cursed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, upon the tongue of Isa and Sulaiman, are those who did what? Cursed upon the tongues of those prophets, are those individuals that they used to see evil occur around them, but they used not to forbid it. So my young sisters, when you see your friend, or when you see your companion doing that which is evil, that which is munkar, that which is wrong, then don't remain silent. Tell them it's haram. Either you stop it, or I walk away. Because Allah's Messenger, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that if you see anyone mocking the signs of Allah, mocking the signs of Allah, meaning opposing the deen of Allah, then keep away from them, abandon their company, up until they change to a different subject. That they make tawbah, and they seek forgiveness, and they rectify, and they do not return back to it. All of these things, my sisters, so that our community, our community of Salafis, or even our community of Muslims, that they are rectified and they are corrected because of the fact that our women folk are rectified. That our women folk are rectified because we don't pay attention. We pay attention to the brothers because we can see them. And we see them day in and day out in the masjid, around. But our sisters, they are hidden from us. So many of them believe that they can do things that other people generally, that they cannot do. So they remain hidden. And they commit crimes and sins. Which leads me to the third level of forbidding evil. That if you are not able to rectify them with your tongue, then at least hate it with your heart. Hating it with your heart. My daughters, my nieces, my young sisters, hating it with your heart does not mean that when you see your fellow sister or when you see your friend committing a sin that you laugh and that you make fun with them and joke with them and then you say, well, it wasn't me, it was her. It wasn't me, it was her. You laughing, you joking with them or you encouraging them, then all of this is forbidden. At the very least when they commit the sin, that if you are not able to tell them, then at least hate it with your heart by leaving their company saying, if you're going to do this, I'm off. I'm gone. I'm gone. When you're better, and don't feel sadness in your heart. Don't feel sadness in your heart because you left her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you gave her nasiha. That you advised her what you're doing is haram. That this will lead to zina. This will lead to punishment in the hellfire. This will lead to fornication. Or this will lead to the pathways to fornication. Such as looking and nakedness and touching and kissing and other than that. So I will not keep your company. I'm leaving. And then do not feel guilty at the fact that you have left. For indeed, you have left for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've left for the sake of Allah. So don't feel guilty about that. Don't feel guilty about that. So those who commit sins, then we are not in need of their company. Those who oppose the sunnah, we are not in need of their company. Rather, our relationship with them, as I've already mentioned, is based upon the fact that these individuals, that we can advise them. So we advise them, or we advise them from a distance. Not that we are always with them when they commit sins, that we are with them. And when they transgress, we are with them. When they listen to music, we are with them. When they go onto the internet and do things that are unbefitting and haram, that we are with them. All of this is not the companionship that is required. So the benefits of good companionship are innumerable. The person, he will remind you or she will remind you of Allah. They will remind you of the love of the sunnah. They will remind you about uprightness. The mercy of Allah descends upon you. And they share with them. And you share in that with them. So when the people, righteous people go to the masjid, then you go to the masjid with them. When the righteous people go and sit in the durus, and they sit in the circles, then you sit in with them. And what happens? Except that the angels descend upon them. And the mercy of Allah envelops them. So be with the righteous and do not be with those who are evildoers. Do not be with the evildoers. And there are many anecdotes and many true incidences from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that mention to us the importance of good companionship. And we've mentioned some of those examples already. So be with those, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهَ, that as for those who say that our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they are upright and steadfast upon the deen of Allah, then there is no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. Ulaika ashabul jannah, they are the companions of paradise, and they will remain therein for eternity, a just reward for that which they used to do. Ask yourselves, my sisters, mothers, daughters, grandmothers, aunties, ask yourselves, do you not want to be amongst those whom Allah has described here, that they are upon istiqamah, upon steadfastness, upon the fact that they worship their Lord and they do not disobey Him. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ There is no fear upon them. And they do not grieve. They are the companions of Jannah. They will be entered into Jannah, my sisters. Do you not know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That any woman who prays her 5 daily prayers, and she fasts the month of Ramadan, and she protects her private parts from that which is haram, and that she is obedient to her husband, it will be said to her on Yawmul Qiyamah, enter into paradise through whichever of the doors that you please. Enter into paradise, whichever of the doors that you please. Look what it's connected to. It's connected to ibadah. It's connected to chastity and being chaste. And it's connected to being a good member of your family. All three, look. The one who prays her 5 daily prayers. She fasts the month of Ramadan. Ibadah. That she is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connected to her chastity. That she's pious. That she cares about her honor. She's an honorable woman. That she doesn't like other men looking at her. And nor does she like to look at strange men. As Ali radiallahu anhu said to Fatima radiallahu anha. He said, O my wife, what is the most beloved thing to a Muslim, to a believing woman? She said, not to be seen by other men and not to see other men. Righteous character. That she cares about her honor. That she protects herself. That she's not seen as a lewd woman. That she's not seen as a bad woman. And in reality she protects her private parts. In reality she dresses modestly. In reality she's a woman who cares about the respect and the honor of her family and her husband. Which father would want for his daughter that his daughter is known as a lewd woman? Which father? Which the youth would want this? Except the youth. Except the one who has no shame with regard to his family, his females in the family. They are the ones who don't care about their daughters. She goes where she wants, comes when she wants, sees who she wants, mixes with who she wants. Rather, he may even encourage her to dress inappropriately. He may even encourage her to remove her hijab, her jilbab, or her khimar. He may encourage her to do that. A despicable father. A despicable father and a despicable husband. So do not be from those mothers who encourages their daughter with makeup. Rather, battle with them. Condemn them and forbid them. Doesn't mean that you beat the living daylights out of them, no. But rather encourage them from a very early age. So that when they grow up, they automatically realize that it's better if I am modest. I don't wear makeup. I don't wear foundation. Despicable women who do that go out in public with makeup. Amongst the believing women, even worse and even more despicable. That a Salafi woman should behave in this manner. That she wear lipstick in public. Or she wears blusher in public. Or she wears this foundation and she beautifies her face in public. For what purpose? So that other men look at you. Is that what you wish? Is that the characteristic of a believing woman? When the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved thing to me is that I'm not seen by other men and I do not see other men. And then the fourth characteristic, that she's obedient to her husband, a good wife, a good member of her family, a righteous, truthful, believing woman. So be from those who have istiqamah. Be from those who are upright, so that you may become inhabitants of Jannah. So that you may become inhabitants of Jannah. And this term istiqamah is a comprehensive term. And it is to stand before Allah with truthfulness and to stick to and fulfill one's obligations. This is related to speech and actions and conditions and intentions. No matter where you are, how you are, whether in your home, or in your parents' home, or in your family home, or in a sister's house, or at school, or at college, or at university, or in the masjid, or in the bullring, or in the shopping mall, that you are a believing, pious, righteous woman, and that you protect yourself and you preserve your honor, and you save it for your husband. Save it for your husband, those of you who are unmarried. Save your beauty for your husband. Save your eyeliners and your liquid mascaras for your husband. Save your lipsticks for your husband. Don't be a fitna for the men. Don't be a fitna for the men. These things are not permissible. As Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, and the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, and the majority of them, of our time, have spoken with regard to this affair. Do not become a fitna, my sisters, and especially you younger girls. If your mother is behaving in an inappropriate way, then don't follow her in her inappropriate behavior. Rather be an example to your own mother. How many children amongst us have been examples for our parents? And because of the behavior of the children, the father entered into Salafiyya. The mother entered into Salafiyya. The father who was taking mortgages and taking riba and committing sins, that because of the good behavior and the good obedience of the children, that the father looks upon them and says, I want to be like this. And he leaves the sins because of the good behavior of the children. It is sometimes like that. That the mother is a bad example. So the children, they become good examples to the parents, and they encourage their parents to leave falsehood and leave wrong. So be upon istiqamah, the young of you and the older of you. And encourage each other with goodness. And be from those who establish the true Islamic household. Be from those who will have good children. So that when you die, your children make dua for you. Not that your children are sinners and transgressors because you did not pay attention. Wallahi, if you do not pay attention to them when they are young, it's only going to become more difficult when they are older. If you do not discipline them when they are young, and you do not take them by their hand when they are young, and you do not carry them along with you, and you do not make them stand up with you, and you do not take them with the seeking of knowledge when they are young, and you do not forbid the evil from them when they are young, if you spoil them when they are young, and they become spoiled, and you cannot control them when they are young, when they are 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, then how are you going to control them when they are 15 and 16 and 17 and 18? You tell me how you're going to control them. You can't control them when they weigh 3 stone. How are you going to control them when they're 12 stone? You cannot guide them and discipline them when they are young. Then how are you going to rectify them when they are old? Like some people, they come and they say, you know what, akhi, my son is playing up. Or my daughter is playing up. They're texting each other with things that are completely unbefitting. Texting each other with haram, with sins. Or they're upon the internet going into chat rooms and talking to each other. 15, 16 year olds. And I said to them, how were they when they were younger? Wallahi, they were spoiled. I didn't really pay too much attention. They were watching television. I sent them to the state school. I said, well, that's what you have. If you didn't discipline them when they were younger, then how are you going to control them when they're older? How about those daughters and those sons who are rude and disobedient to their parents? That when their mother or their father command them with something, that they look towards them or they say words which are evil, ugly mannerisms with regard to their parents. So when the mother says, stop doing that, they say, shut up. Wallahi. Cases of this. That a daughter would say to her own mother, shut your face. Shut up, who are you talking to? She says, I've just told you to listen to me, go and clean the kitchen or go and do this. Go and make your room, go and read the Quran, go and do your homework. Shut up, I ain't doing that. Tell him to do it. A mother talking, a daughter talking to a mother like this, or a son talking to the mother like this, And then you ask yourself, how did this come about? Wallahi, look towards the younger years. How were you with them when they were younger? Were you one of those hippie type of parents? One of those free-minded liberalists, free, you know, do what you wish, doesn't matter. So they used to shout at you when you were younger. So they shout at you when you were older. If they were embarrassed even to say a word of uff, or to sigh, or to turn their face away from you when they were younger, they will respect you when they're older. Why? Because you brought them up correctly, with love, respect, honor, discipline. So when they're older, they're like that. And you younger girls, who treat your mothers like this, or treat your grandparents like this, or treat your own father and your mother like this, then know that Yawmul Qiyamah you'll be called to account. So long as you have entered into adolescence or into puberty, Allah will call you to account. And it is from the greatest of sins after shirk, is to show disobedience and ingratitude towards your parents. Your mother, who suffered with you when you were in her womb. For 9 months she carried you, suffering. Then when you were born, the pain that she suffered is a pain that is unimaginable. Till this day they cannot put a type of intensity of the pain that a woman suffers when she's in labor. Yet she gave birth to you. Then she suckled you and gave you her milk in the night and in the day. And she stayed up during the night feeding you. And she stayed up during the night giving you her breast milk and changing your nappy and changing you and washing you and cleaning you. And when you were ill, she looked after you. This was your mother. Whether she was a kafira or whether she was a muslima, no difference. That's what mothers do. Kafira or muslima. And then she raised you and she fed you. And when you were sick, she stayed up all night alongside you. That was the mother. And she applied the medicine upon you. That was the mother. So then when you grow up, this is the response that you give to her. Shut up. You silly cow. Or you bag. Or you this. Or you that. Which is common amongst the people in these times, amongst the kuffar. You know, my mom, she's a silly cow. Kuffar. Common amongst them, shouting at them, being abusive towards them, using the worst, most despicable, foul language with regard to their parents. I remind you of an athar, that one of the salaf in the time of the tabi'een, he took his mother to Hajj. And he placed his mother on the back upon his shoulders. And he performed tawaf with his mother upon his back. So he made this, he performed the umrah with his mother upon his back, because he didn't want to put her through hardship. So he thought, alhamdulillah, I've done good for my mother. I've put her upon my back, and I've performed the umrah with my mother upon my back. So then he went to one of the companions, I think it was Ibn Abbas. And he said to him, verily I performed the umrah, and I carried my mother upon my back. Throughout the umrah, have I fulfilled her rights? Have I given her her rights? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ibn Abbas, he said, not a push from her pushes. Not even a single push from her pushes. Which push? The push of labor. How many times the woman, the mother, has to push to exit the child? That you doing this for your mother doesn't even equal one push from her pushes. So what rights have you fulfilled? What rights have you fulfilled? And the hadith of the man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have come from Yemen. And I have come to migrate to you all the way from Yemen to Medina. Migrated, made hijrah to you to make jihad alongside you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, did you seek the permission of your parents? He said, seek the permission of my parents? He said, did you seek the permission of your parents? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. He said, well, go back to Yemen then. Hadith in Abu Dawood, authentic. He said, go back to Yemen and seek their permission. Go back to Yemen is not an easy task, Ya Ikhwan. From Medina to Yemen. Have you ever caught a taxi from Makkah to Medina? That's a car going 120 kilometers an hour. And even then, after the journey, you're like, subhanAllah, that was a journey. And that's a car from Makkah to Medina, never mind walking from Yemen, or upon a donkey or a camel from Yemen all the way to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ sent him all the way back. He said, go back and seek their permission. If they give you permission, your mother and your father, then come back to me. Otherwise, serve them. Serve them. So you young girls, young daughters, teenage girls, who think that you will live forever, who think that this is your life now, that you need to enjoy yourselves, and mum is boring, and mum doesn't know, and we don't know what you go through, and we don't know what teenagers are like, then you are the ones who are living in cloud cuckoo land, not us. Because we are the ones who experienced what you experienced, and more than probably what you haven't experienced, and more than that. But you seem to think that your parents don't understand. It's possible that in some issues, your parents don't understand. But be with them and be obedient to them. Because if you die in a state of disobedience to your parents, then you have died upon major sin. You have died upon major sin. You are no longer little girls, little baby toddlers, 5 and 6 years old. Many of you are youthful, teenage girls who are ready for marriage. Yet you behave like those women who have no shame, some of you. So bring shame and be a person who's bashful. Be modest. For indeed that is closer to Iman. And indeed it is Iman. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states in the hadith, the Iman of 70 odd branches. And also he mentioned that modesty is from Iman. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, finishing upon this word, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith, he said that the statement of those who came before us, that they used to say, if you have no shame, then do as you wish. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan.